Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Have you seen the news reports of the pro-Saddam Arabs who are entering Iraq to fight on the side of the government against the Allied forces? What should we make of this? Arab men, they want to become fedayeen and fight for Saddam. How do we analyze that? Should we put up barricades on the highways and not let them in? Well, I analyze this the same way I analyzed a similar circumstance in our war against the Taliban when Pakistani men were flowing into Afghanistan. Remember that? They were going in to help the Taliban fight against the American infidels. And back then, what we said on the air back then, I think we could repeat now, come on in. The water's great. The more, the merrier. Hey, it's not every day that you get to kill the enemy without a trial. And if pro-terrorist Pakistanis wanted to enter Afghanistan, I thought it'd be great. Let them in. In fact, we could buy them bus tickets. And the same with any pro-Saddam men who want to fight for that modern-day Hitler. Hey, come on in. The water's great. The victory is just around the corner. Yeah, listen to Al Jazeera. Go ahead, tune them in. You know, listen to what they're saying on Al Jazeera. The Americans and the Brits are being beat. Yeah, listen to Iraqi television. Hear Peter Arnett tell it. The American war plan has failed because of the great courage of the Iraqi fighters. The Americans are in trouble. Listen to Iraqi television. In fact, every single American soldier who does not surrender will be killed. Yeah, let the Saddam reporters in the surrounding countries listen to Abu Dhabi TV. That the Americans are undersupplied. We have no food, no water, no ammunition. Now is the time to rush into battle. Yell Allah Akbar. Oh, yeah, and if you have a weapon, great, bring it along. Otherwise, don't worry, you could just pick one up from a dead soldier anywhere. Come one, come all to the mother of all battles. Boy, do you want to talk about psychological warfare? They're telling the enemy, we're winning the battle. Come on, rush in, join in. Join in the victory. Fight for Saddam. We couldn't do a better job with psychological warfare. We couldn't possibly do a better job than Al Jazeera is doing for us. You know, if we took their editors and put them in charge of the Pentagon PSYOPs program for this war, maybe then I think we'd do even better than we're doing. All right, what else do we have? Oh, Saddam's Republican guards have been kept outside of Baghdad, and that's where we want them, of course. But why doesn't he pull them back into Baghdad? Well, it could be out of a fear of a coup attempt because he doesn't trust his own generals. So, I mean, if the Republican Guard keeps their positions outside of Baghdad, this is, this will be once again the mother of all victories for the Americans and the Allies, for us. What else? British forces are reporting that they're taking thousands of Iraqis captive, Iraqi fighters. That's good. Saddam offers $30,000 in cash for each dead American. What else do we have here? All right, we've got more news, but let's go to a man in the street report. In Denver, Colorado, there is a lawyer who argued the Roe v. Wade decision in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Sarah Weddington is in Denver, Colorado right now. Is that right, Keith?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. Keith, please give us a report of what's happening.
The this protest is going pretty well. I think every woman that's going into the Buell Theater to go listen to Sarah Weddington, the lawyer that argued Roe v. Wade, is definitely going to know where some people in Denver stand on the issue and what they think of Sarah Weddington.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know if you can hear what's going on in the background here, but we're chanting.
Yeah.
Different chants. One of them is pro-choice is a lie. Babies don't choose to die. And then we have a pretty large group of young people out here. And we're also chanting, stop killing my generation.
Now, Keith Mason, you are the director of the Colorado branch of the Survivors.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. And so you guys, you found out Sarah Weddington will be in Denver. What is the event that she's speaking at?
She is actually on her own tour. It's a women's leadership motivational speaking tour. Sarah Weddington isn't arguing cases to help kill babies anymore. She's just talking to other women, getting them to be more pro-choice now. So she's a motivational speaker now, and that's her job. And so this is just one of her stops on a nationwide tour.
All right. And she did succeed in helping American women kill over 30 million of their own children. So obviously she is an accomplished leader.
Yes.
And, hey, thank you very much, by the way, for you guys being there so that a woman with that much blood on her hands would not come through our town unscathed.
My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. So anything else, Keith, you want to give us an idea of so people are entering the event right now?
People are, we have large groups of women. It seems to be older women coming to this. I haven't really seen hardly any older women or younger women coming to this, which is kind of shows us where the, where the pro-choice movement is, I think.
Yeah, demographically.
It's mainly with the older women. I think that's, if it's a woman's leadership course, shouldn't young women be attending? That's what we have kind of been discussing here. But it seems to be all, on a whole, older women, in the 50s.
Well, and they're the ones for whom Sarah Weddington was a household name. She enabled these women to have their own children killed 30 years ago, or their grandchildren killed legally. So they have, they remember Sarah with fond memories.
Yeah, isn't that unfortunate? So these women entering this thing, it's pretty safe to assume that they're accomplices as well, if not guilty, firsthand of of the crime of abortion.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Hey, Keith, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks, Bob. Keep up the good work yourself.
All right. God bless you. I appreciate that. That's Keith Mason, director of Colorado Survivors. Bob and Yart Live is listener-supported radio, and the same number that you can use to call into the show, you could call in to order a video, an audio tape album, a manuscript, the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, 330-page, unpublished, best-selling manuscript of What is the Bible All About from Beginning to End. It's a book I had the pleasure of working on for over a quarter of a century, researching the Bible and then taking some years to write it. And thousands of copies have been sold. In fact, people who like the show, they purchase the plot manuscript to help support the show. And then they find out they love the plot because it helps them understand the whole Bible. And the number one comment we get from people is that now when they open up the Bible and read a chapter, they understand what it's about because they get the big picture. Our phone number, you can order the plot. It's $49.95 plus shipping and handling, 30-day money-back guarantee. Our phone number is 1-800-836-9278. If you're not the type that likes to read, and there's a lot jammed into those 330 pages, you might want to order the audio tape albums, the plot, the audio tape album, either on audio tape or on MP3 CD. CD-ROM. Oh, and that's $32.95 for an album. And then you could follow that up with The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil and The Law of Moses. And we get into Genesis and Exodus, the Book of Revelation. In fact, you can order the monthly Bible study album, sign up, and once a month we'll ship you an album, 800-8-N-YART. So those albums I was mentioning, you know, we just were packing for a conference I'll be going to April 26th in South Bend, Indiana. And at that conference, we'll be bringing some of these albums with us and videotapes and the plot for sale. And after I speak, I'm speaking on what's the topic? It's Christianity and Public Policy. And so afterward, of course, we'll have a book table. And aside from bringing some of these albums, we grabbed a bunch of copies of a single audio tape titled Is This Man God? It's actually the first tape of our series in the Gospel of John. John 1:1, Is This Man God? So much fun, that video. That audio tape, that single tape, you'll love it. N-YART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, so we also have the stories of the, you know, the market bombing in downtown Baghdad, where Arab civilians and shops are destroyed, injured, and the crater apparently looks nothing like a crater that would be formed by an American cruise missile or a guided weapon, one of our guided weapons, and was either an Iraqi missile coming back down to, you know, what goes up must come down. That's something that the Iraqis soldiers have never quite figured out. And then also, or it could have been an intentional blast, just to try to blame the Americans. We have an increasing number of accounts of Iraqi soldiers and Fedayeen Saddam killing Iraqi civilians. In one case, women and children were being forced by Iraqi fighters to walk across the bridge, and the bridge had been wired with explosives. And when one woman realized what's going on, she fled for her life along the bank of the river, and she was shot in the back by an Iraqi gunman. It was U.S. Marines who recovered her body from the river and returned it to her village for her family to grieve and to bury her. And then that van filled with women and children probably, I mean, the investigation is underway, but probably had a similar cause when the driver, a woman, tried to race through a U.S. checkpoint. And our soldiers, after four being killed by a car bomb, our soldiers are on orders to shoot to kill. And they tried to stop the van with shots into the van and the engine. And eventually, seven women and children were killed. And I wouldn't be surprised if it were threats from Saddam's thugs that propelled the woman out of fear, perhaps that her children would be killed, that she would be killed unless she plowed through this U.S. checkpoint. Of course, we'll find out. All right, we'll go to the phones here in a moment. 800-8-N-YART. But, you know, liberalism survives by ignoring reality. When you have reality, then liberalism, when reality hits you in the face, liberalism takes a setback. So during severe events like depressions or epidemics and wars, liberalism just takes a setback. It only succeeds by blurring the distinction between right and wrong, truth and error, good and evil. So when terrorists attack innocent people in big numbers, then liberals tend to hide for a while. They're forced to retreat from their argument that evil does not exist. So they just have to shut up for a while. And when a just war breaks out, then liberals have a hard time obscuring reality. They will try to say there's a moral equivalency between the two sides, the just and the wicked opponents, but that argument is hard to make during warfare. Did you notice after the Michigan State game, Michigan State lost their big game last night? And of course, you know, that would be disheartening. But really, there was a riot. There's a terrible riot after the Michigan State game when they lost. And there's actually a bright side to the riot. Because for a change, the fans on the losing side were the ones who were rioting. Usually, the fans on the winning team side are the ones that burn down their city. And so now, which of course that makes flat out no sense, you win and so you riot. But maybe even American college students are being hit square in the face with reality through the war. And now they're just that much closer to reality. And so instead of rioting when their team loses, maybe we've made a baby step for American college students. Instead of rioting when their team wins, now maybe they're going to riot when their team loses instead of the traditional victory riot. Let's go to the phones. Let's see. All right. We don't know where the call's coming in from. Raymond, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. We're calling from Canada.
Canada. Hi, Raymond.
And just want to apologize on behalf of all Canadians for the way our country and our leader has behaved in respect to this war.
Well, that's very kind of you. An apology accepted on behalf of all right-minded and godly Canadians.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting out here. We have homosexual members of parliament saying that this war is immoral.
Yeah, right.
Which is kind of bizarre.
Right. It's like the Nazis complaining about admission standards at a university.
Yeah, there are quite a few in the western half of Canada that do support the war.
There's more conservatism out west in Canada?
Definitely. Anything west of Ontario, there's a lot of conservatives, and they generally have their heads screwed on straight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the eastern half that kind of controls our country, so.
You're right.
But, we're really supportive. We just hope that.
Well, thank you.
That everybody down there doesn't think too badly of Canadians, even though we do have a fairly wicked country up here.
Yeah, but you know, you guys are your wickedness, and we compare it to America's wickedness, and you know, it's appropriate that we're neighbors.
Yeah, we're politely wicked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
compared to the French.
Yeah, I heard someone say the other day, going to war alongside the French is like going bear hunting with an accordion.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what what's that movie about that cannibal, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, what he said? He said he likes the French. They taste like chicken. you know, it's funny. USA Today has an article about French's classic yellow mustard. In the headline, this is funny. This is true. The headline of the article is, "It may be yellow, but it's not from France." That's a USA Today headline.
That's pretty appropriate.
It's just hysterical.
Well, we have a lot of people up here that are really upset because of they think that because there's so many protests and so many countries that have gotten together and have these huge outcries against the war that somehow that makes the war unjust.
Yeah.
And we have a network up here called CBC, and they are the most, they're almost like, I guess they'd be like national public radio or
yeah,
something.
Canadian,
they're really
Canadian,
quite left-wing.
The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Right. And they had a fella on there, and I don't normally agree, and I don't normally watch it, but I happened to catch this one guy on there.
Now, this is TV. They also have radio, right?
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
And they're government-funded, and that's the only way, basically, that they can even stay on the air, because what they have on there is so terrible. But one guy said, and I was surprised that it actually came off the, off of that network, but it said that, you know, just because the United Nations and people, you know, even if the majority agree with this war, that doesn't make the war right or any more or less right or wrong. You know, same thing, if they disagreed with the war, it doesn't make it any more or less right or wrong.
Right, of course.
And so it was just kind of bizarre to see a left-wing outlet like that saying something that actually made sense for a change. But
I mean, that's great. And, you know, that's a lot better than what we get on our O'Reilly O'Reilly on Fox News, or so many other conservatives that have just repeated this mantra that once the war starts, you must support the troops.
Well, that's not.
I just hate that kind of amoral, you know, legal positivism, relativism teaching that undermines truth and righteousness.
Like, what would they have done if they were living in Nazi Germany?
Yeah, right. Once the Nazis go to slaughter, what, the Russians? The Poles?
Yeah, we have to support them.
Yeah, that's the Brits. Crazy. We got to support the slaughter of the British because we live in Germany.
Right.
I mean, that is, it's immoral to promote that precept. It's wrong. Now, they might have some secondary assumptions they're making. And so, therefore, they're saying, well, in the case of America, in the case of this war, since the war is just, therefore, even though you were against it, now that we're in battle, you better support the troops. But they don't make all those caveats. They just say, once your country goes to war, you must support the troops. That's evil to say that.
That's inane.
And you have to be a fool at the moment you're saying that to utter those words.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Raymond, boy, what a sharp call from Canada.
Well, thanks a lot, Bob.
God bless you.
Keep up the good work.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Now, let's see, where are we here in Connecticut? Phil, speak your mind.
Hello, Bob.
Marit, you
know this last call you had with the Canadian?
Yeah.
I didn't hear a word he said.
Oh, you didn't?
I heard you, but I didn't hear him.
All right. Well, sorry. Maybe on hold. We're having trouble getting the sound of the caller to the other callers. Okay.
I was glad to hear that you're interested in science.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of science in the Bible.
Yeah, I agree.
Could I give you an example?
Yeah.
Okay. And God says, in Genesis, God says, let there be light, and there was light. But the sun and the moon weren't created till the fourth day. So what served as the light for the first 4 days of creation?
Well, it's interesting that Einstein and his trying to understand the universe, right? That Einstein realized that one of the foundational physical elements or truths of the universe is light. That to him, light represents a physical absolute, the properties of light. And light is generated in the universe from trillions and trillions of sources, not just the sun. In fact, the moon doesn't generate any light. The Bible does say that later on, the sun and the moon and the stars were created, but God could have created any number of light-emitting objects at that point or he could have simply brought light itself into existence.
Well, it's a little more simpler than that.
All right, hold on. Let's take a break and then go to the news, and we'll come right back, Phil. Bob Enyard here. Our number, 1-800-836-9278, is good for calling into the show. And also, it's good for ordering materials. And Well, you've heard me in the last break tell you about the plot manuscript and then the audio tape albums that parallel the plot. The concept of the plot is to give an overview of the whole Bible. What's the plot of the Bible? What is the story of the Bible? Not God is love or God loves man or God's, you know, God wants to save us from our sins. Those are more thematic statements that tell us about, you know, some of the characters in the Bible, in the story of the Bible, God and man. But what is the plot, the storyline of the Bible? What is the storyline? And how do the huge different elements of the story fit in with one another? How do they relate to one another? The major characters of the Bible, the major groups of the Bible. How does it all fit together? And if you don't have a solid foundation in an overview of the whole Bible, then when you attempt to understand the details, you're going to struggle. Because it's really hard to be good at the details when you're confused about the overview, about the big picture. How do you do that? If you're going to study economics or accounting, are you going to be an expert accountant and know how to make journal entries if you don't understand debits and credits generally and their functions? Of course not. And the same thing is true about the Bible. You might feel really confident that you're an expert in issues, whatever they are, law and grace, end times, rapture, speaking in tongues, healings, whatever. But questions about the overview of the Bible, how all the books fit together, how the stories fit together, they might make you a little uneasy. And if that's the case, you've started out backwards. First the overview, then the details. NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So in Connecticut, Phil, go ahead. You explain that.
Okay. Phil,
could you speak up a little louder?
What served as the sun for the first 4 days of creation was Jupiter. Jupiter was once a sun.
All right. Hey, Phil. You could email me this theory, and
only going to take a minute.
No, Phil, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. You know, if you have a somewhat of a bizarre theory, you could try to call it in and get it on the air, and you might. But I'd rather not waste, you know, thousands of people in the audience, everyone's time with an idiosyncratic, bizarre theory. But I'd be happy to read more about it if I could pick Phil's email out of the others that we get. Our email ID is kgovlive@aol.com. kgov.com is where you can find us on the web. kgov.com. Shows have been archived for a long, long time. You could go back, listen to previous shows. And, of course, our store is online, denverbiblechurch.com. You can find us there also. All right, 1-800-836-9278. You know, our call from Canada, Raymond, he reminded me of a CBC interview, Canadian Broadcasting Corp radio interview of an American Indian. And the CBC, just like our NPR, you know how liberal and politically incorrect, and they were just incensed that the government was offering this Indian. They wanted to buy his land for whatever reason, build a shopping center, I don't know, maybe an on-ramp to a highway, I don't know. But they wanted to buy his land. And they're doing this interview with this Indian, and they're saying, this land has been in your tribe for generations, and now the government is insulting you by offering money for your land. Is there anything you would ever give up your land for? And he said, a pickup truck. And the reporter was in shock. This is about 7 years ago. the reporter was in shock, and he said, yeah, new pickup truck. They could have land for a new pickup truck. I got a kick out of that. All right, let's go back. More war news. You know, there's up north, a U.S.-led assault on a compound that was controlled by an Islamic group that it turns out that that compound has yielded a list of names, computer disks, paperwork, passports, and names of suspected militants living in the United States, according to a coalition commander today. And this list might be the strongest evidence yet linking al-Qaeda to at least this one group, Ansar al-Islam. You know, if they don't have Muhammad's name in them, they've got Islam. The cache of documents at the Ansar al-Islam compound included computer disks and passports belonging to Arab fighters from throughout the Middle East. And so this is good. This is good. Now, that doesn't tie Saddam Hussein directly to al-Qaeda, but this group has been supported by Iran. So let's see. And many of their 700 members have slipped into Iran, and we're not following them into Iran at this point. Not yet. All right. What else do we have here? Hey, the Drudge Report linked to a story by an anti-war demonstrator who came to Iraq with Japanese Human Shield volunteers, and that was back in late January, and came back out of Iraq with 14 hours of uncensored video, all shot without Iraqi government minders present. So presumably the Iraqi people in the video could speak what they truly believed. And the video was also shot without Peter Arnett present. So this guy had no fear that he'd be turned over to the Iraqi authorities when he was shooting the video. His name is Kenneth Joseph, and he's a pastor, an American pastor with the Assyrian Church of the East. And he told UPI, United Press International, in fact, let me just pause there for a minute. Do you remember that United Press International? Well, they've had financial problems for a long time. They're like the Associated Press, the AP, only it's UPI. And they provide print stories for newspapers and newsletters, periodicals. You license their service and you get their wire service. Well, UPI years ago was in financial trouble, and Pat Robertson was going to buy them. And there was a massive statement that the reporters were going to quit if a Christian conservative bought UPI. So Pat Robertson said, hey, you guys are almost bankrupt. I'm trying to save your jobs. Okay, you don't want to work for me, I won't buy you. That's it. So, you know who bought UPI? Bin Laden. Osama bin Laden and five other Saudi Arabian families bought UPI. And they had it for a while, then they sold it. But, you know, the reporters, they would work for bin Laden, but not for Pat Robertson. It's sort of funny. Anyway, this American pastor, this liberal, you know how war is, it hits you with reality in the face. Liberalism has a hard time dealing with reality. It has to retreat in the face of harsh reality. That's what liberalism typically must do. Well, the American pastor told UPI that the trip, quote, had shocked me back to reality. Some of the Iraqis he interviewed on camera, quote, told me they would commit suicide if the American bombing didn't start soon. They were willing to see their homes demolished to gain their freedom from Saddam's bloody tyranny. They convinced me that Saddam was a monster, the likes of which the world has not seen since Hitler. He and his sons are sick sadists. Their tales of torture and killing made me ill, such as putting people in a shredder for plastic products, feet first, so that others could hear their screams as their bodies got destroyed. So there's one pastor maybe coming around. You know, you think because he is a pastor, he'd have to pretty much know the truth and not be gullible and naive to take the side of a terrorist, tyrant, murderer, rapist. But no, he's a Christian pastor, which implies a likely naivete, unfortunately. All right, what else do we have in the news? 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Oh, yeah, Susan Sarandon. I can't stand her. Susan Sarandon. But this is a good story. She was scheduled to be the keynote speaker for the United Way in Florida on April 11th at a women's leadership conference. I wonder if Sarah Weddington will be down there. And Sarandon was unceremoniously canceled by the United Way of all groups because of her anti-war views. The organizers canceled the $75 a plate dinner. I guess Weddington won't be there because of the complaints they received about this anti-American Susan Sarandon. And yeah, anti-American. That's right. If you know, it's when liberals and even conservatives say, "Hey, it's an American tradition to protest." Sure, it is. But when you're protesting your government, when your government is right, and you're siding with the enemy, then that's un-American. That's un-American. It's unpatriotic. It's unrighteous. It's wrong. It's a sin. You're probably going to hell. You better ask God to search your heart and know your ways and see how evil you are, if in fact you are. You know, it's possible for a righteous person to think wrong and do wrong. It's possible for a righteous person to be a fool. But when your foolishness is so extraordinary, that's a good opportunity to take stock of your eternal destiny and ask God, you know, Lord, am I a Christian? All right, what else? Hey, our CIA has been doing a good job. Government spokesman Richard Boucher said two Iraqi plots to attack Americans in the Middle East have been thwarted, one in Jordan. Good job, guys. NYART. That's the number that you can call to get onto the show Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Or you can call to talk about some of our materials, or 24 hours a day just on the web at kgov.com. We have our store, an excellent internet store, very well executed. And you could read about the products, the materials, the videotape, audio tape, literature, what's going on, our subscriptions, getting discounts by buying entire sets. Like on the plot, the overview of the whole Bible, we have five audio tape albums. Five albums, you could get all five for $149.95. Or Genesis, we have six audio tape albums on Genesis. I'll give you the titles: Creation, The Fall, The Flood, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, and finally Joseph. Six albums, you could get them all for $179.95. And again, money-back guarantee, 30-day money-back guarantee. The Gospel of John in three albums, all five epistles, 5 albums, any 5 videos for a discount, 10 videos, 20 videos, you could get a discount, quantity discount. If you order the plot in quantity, you could get it discounted. In fact, we have something called the Enyart Library. If you purchase the Enyart Library, you get a copy of every title we have, every video, every audio album, every literature title, all for $1,495. $1,495 in instant library. And if it takes you a year to listen and watch and read, which you can do in a year, then you'll have in a year the sum total of all the learning that I have picked up from the Bible and studying the world around me in 30 years. 30 years worth of study and effort boiled down to you in 1 year, but with the Enyart Library, and save $400 if you said, well, I'm just going to buy these monthly, and every month I'll get 3 or 4 things over a couple years. Hey, it'll save a lot. 800-8 Enyart, the Enyart Library. Welcome back, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-836-9278. You know, the axis of evil, that's Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. It turns out that some countries are bitter after being snubbed for membership in the axis of evil. And so Libya, China, and Syria have just announced that they have formed the axis of just as evil, which they said would be more evil than that stupid Iran, Iraq, North Korea axis that President Bush warned of. The Axis of Evil members, however, immediately dismissed the new axis as having, for starters, a really dumb name. North Korean leader Kim Jong-il declared, right, they're just as evil in their dreams. Everybody knows we're the best evils. Diplomats from Syria denied they were jealous over being excluded, although they conceded they did ask if they could join the Axis of Evil. They told us it was full, said Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. An axis cannot have more than 3 countries, explained Iraqi President Saddam Hussein. This is not my rule, it's tradition. In World War II, you had Germany, Italy, and Japan, so you can only have 3 and a secret handshake. After the announcement of the Axis of Just as Evil, within minutes, France surrendered. We have here the official France peace treaty form, fill in the blank. Template where France, we the people of France, do hereby surrender to, fill in the blank, enter your country name, your general, and this official peace treaty form lists everything in France that can be plundered. All right, what else do we have? Hey, I have an email here about James Dobson. And this email has come from someone with the Justice Department. Yeah, someone with the Justice Department. Ah, all right. I think, yeah. We could do this. In Missouri. And let me read this. Dear Bob, Senator Orrin Hatch was on Focus on the Family's radio program recently, garnering opposition to the Democrat filibuster of President Bush's nominee, Miguel Estrada, to a federal court. After the senator finished, Dr. Dobson framed the issue like this. And then this is Dobson talking about, you know, these nasty Democrats who will not put Miguel Estrada up for a vote. And so the conservatives and the Christians are all up in arms because the Democrats won't, not only will they not confirm Estrada to this federal court of appeals, but they won't even vote on it. It reminds me when the same thing was going on with David Souter, and George Bush Sr. had nominated David Souter, and the Democrats were dragging their heels and resisting, and the Christians and the conservatives were fighting for David Souter to be confirmed. And it turns out Souter is a total pro-abort. Didn't the same thing happen with Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Right? Republican presidents nominate pro-aborts, pro-homosexual, anti-Christian, pro-evolution, socialist, liberal, judicial activists to the U.S. Supreme Court, to federal courts, and then it's the pro-lifers who fight to get them on the bench. So James Dobson, now I don't know about Estrada. He's sort of a stealth candidate, I think, sort of like David Souter was. But at any rate, let's assume he's pro-life, just for chagrins. Well, James Dobson, according to this email from the Justice Department to Bob and Yurt Live, James Dobson framed the issue like this. He said, quote, "The Democrats are doing what has not been done before in the U.S. Senate. It is without precedence, as we've indicated. They're just simply not going to let this president exercise his right and have confirmed the judges that are consistent with his philosophy." Now, I don't know how Mr. Dobson knows whether Estrada is consistent with President Bush's philosophy or not. I don't know how we would know that. Based on George Bush's previous judicial appointees, I don't know that I know what Bush's philosophy is. He's a strong pro-life Christian who fancies appointing extremist pro-aborts to high judicial office. That's what I know so far about George W. Bush's judicial appointees. But at any rate, so he says the Democrats are doing this and it's without precedence. He said the Democrats are blocking Estrada simply because they disagree with him. And James Dobson went on to say, the Democrats and the Republicans play by different rules. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of the most pro-abortion Supreme Court judges, was on the board of the ACLU. She was pro-abortion, and yet the Republicans voted for her. That's Dobson's argument. Isn't that bizarre? Now, this email from the U.S. Justice Department out of Missouri goes on to say, this is obviously someone who listens to the show, "I do not question Dr. Dobson's piety, but I must register my regret at hearing him criticize the Democrats for standing upon principles while complimenting Republicans for putting an abortion extremist on the Supreme Court just to follow some supposed unwritten rules. Ideas have consequences," the email continues. "Biblical principles are crumbling before our eyes, partly because evangelical Christians compromise. Dr. Dobson should have acknowledged the Democrats for following their principles, albeit misguided, and chastised the Republicans for giving in to evil. Sadly, he did the exact opposite. Name withheld upon request." All right. And, yeah, we know the source of this email. So that's a good email. That's a very good point. Let's go to Maui Maui, wait a second here. Line two. Maui, Bob, speak your mind. Is this Bob? No?
How are you? Do you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say hello and just encourage you.
Well, now, wait a minute. Shouldn't you say aloha?
Aloha.
Aloha, Bob in Maui. Thank you for the encouragement. We could use it here on the mainland.
Yeah. You know, I listened to your programs by downloading your audio from the internet and putting them on tape, and I listen to them as I'm driving around doing my work.
Yes, sir.
And you were talking to a caller a few weeks back, and you know you're on the topic of judging.
Yeah.
And it just kind of came to me. I don't know if you've thought of this. I don't recall ever hearing you mentioning or
all right.
covering this concept, but how do people know to forgive, whether they're to forgive if they haven't first judged?
Excellent point, Bob. If you haven't judged that someone is wrong, then you could not possibly forgive them.
Yeah, you couldn't know that you need to forgive them.
Right. You don't forgive people for doing the right thing.
Right.
And you don't forgive people when you don't have anything against them.
Right.
You only forgive people when they are wrong and they have wronged you.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've also judged if you've determined they've done the right thing.
Absolutely. Amen.
What is wrong with the Christian church?
Mindless?
That was just
a rhetorical question. I didn't need to answer it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But, hey, Bob, excellent point. Thank you so very much.
Hey, Bob, just love you guys. God bless you. I just got back from my youngest son's wedding in Huntington Beach. It was so awesome.
All right. Congratulations. I'm thrilled to hear that. And we would love to, next time you get to the mainland, you got to visit us in Denver at Denver Bible Church. In fact, we had a couple from Indiana out here this past week, came to church twice. They were here for just over a week. And I got to tell people in the audience, Dwayne and Melody Hostetler from Indiana came out, and they came out to see Colorado to visit the church, fellowship with the Christians in Denver through Denver Bible Church. And they wanted to help out in the office and help out. They used our tape duplicator and duplicated almost 3,000 Bible study tapes. 3,000. Our inventory has never been in this good shape. And they made hundreds of audio tape albums. So we're ready to go. We're ready to ship out materials. Thanks to Dwayne and Melody, who are driving back to Indiana as we speak. In fact, we have friends from Oklahoma coming, Dee Dee and Kevin, next week. Are they going to help out too a bit? Hey, this is getting good. So anyway, give us a call, 800-8-N-YARDS. You may want to check out some of these audio tapes. We have albums that cover an overview of the whole Bible, the plot. 5 albums going through an overview of the whole Bible and the major issues in the Bible. It's a lot of fun. In fact, you could get them one at a time, or give us a call or go on the internet at kgov.com and you could get a discount for getting all 5, the entire set. The same thing with our albums on Genesis, for example. 6 albums in Genesis. Or the plot manuscript. It's fun, this stuff, studying the Bible. Hey, this is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.